When do you need to leave?
Hi, guys, and welcome to Beyond the Cup with Brian. I am one of the owners here at the Healing Brew located at 1678 Merriman Road, Akron, Ohio. We offer a large range of services down here at the Healing Brew. We would love an opportunity to introduce ourselves to any one of you guys. So make sure if you do have that opportunity, come out to the shop, introduce yourself, as well as I offer this weekly podcast, tell you a little bit more about different aspects of metaphysical community, as well as herbs and teas and stuff like that. This week, we're all about oracle cards, tarot cards. Here in a little bit, you'll actually have an opportunity to hear my interview with Alex. She's actually one of our newest tarot readers down here at the shop. She actually does an absolutely amazing job, so I definitely encourage you guys all to have an opportunity to stop out to the shop, have a chance to actually sit down and get a reading with her, and more importantly, even if you guys are just in the air, come in and say hi and let her know that you guys had heard her on Beyond the Cup here. So definitely, guys, I don't know a lot about tarot cards. That's actually one of the reasons why I wanted to bring Alex in, simply for the fact that she knows a little bit more about somebody than I do. And I told you guys a long time ago that if I'm going to bring somebody in on a topic, I'm going to bring somebody who I truly feel is a professional and can actually share information with you guys that I think you guys can use. So I actually read quite a bit with oracle cards. Oracle cards are, as I always say, are traditionally picture cards. They actually have a lot of great imagery on them, and they're read intuitively, meaning that picture card can be used for one person as one thing and actually used with somebody else a little bit differently. So it's definitely a great way of working with someone energetically. A lot of times your mediums, your psychics will actually use those cards because it just acts as that gateway tool or allows us to be able to connect to somebody's energy and actually be able to provide them a little bit of a better reading. And I know there's a lot of people out there who can work without cards. Not saying it's good, bad, or ugly. It's just whatever medium they want to work with to actually be able to provide a great reading. And you guys all know mine. Mine's a teacup, so I don't know where that teacup falls in the picture either. So we definitely gotta look at those options. The other thing, guys, I do want to talk a little bit. I know we haven't talked a lot about herbs here recently. I do want to bring up a little bit. I definitely want to mention about house cleansing supplies. We actually do have sage, Palo Santo, cedar here in the house. Those are actually phenomenal to use as house cleansings. Each one offers a little bit of a different cleanse, but just allows you to actually cleanse that space. Great tools to use to cleanse cards as well as anything else. I do want to remind you guys, a lot of people want to keep their cards cleansed. You guys can use anything from holy water to sea salt. There's a lot of different things you can use, but more importantly, if you are going to use anything with your cards, you want to make sure that your cards aren't going to be damaged by it. So make sure if you're going to use full moon water or holy water that you actually put in a spray bottle or some way that you're able to work with it out to be damaging cards. The other thing is, guys, these cards do a lot of work. And if these cards do end up getting damaged along the way and you feel that you need to put your cards to rest. A lot of us have cards that are in a tattered drawer somewhere that we don't know what we want to do with them. I always endorse taking those cards and giving them a proper burial. You can actually bury those cards. The other thing is, guys, is actually letting them meet fire and let them return to spirit. So that's another way is that you can actually give those cards back to spirit and actually be able to show respect. Those cards lived a long life. They did a service to you, so you know you need to do a service to them. And I'm not talking about the cards that you have laying in your shelves or anything like that. I'm talking more about cards that you just need to step away from. If it's a deck you can give away, great. But if it's a deck that just needs to be destroyed, there's options out there that are a little bit more respectful than throwing them in your residential garbage can. So definitely, guys, there's a lot of ways that you can work with them. Just figure out what's the best way here for you. And now sage is just that general house cleansing tool. It allows you to, as I say, allows to get things out. So it's so that spirits, that's energy and stuff like that. Palo Santo is all about bringing in positive energy. So it's all about bringing in higher vibrations, but bringing guides, angels, positive energy coming in. And a lot of times what I do is I'll actually sage my house at the beginning of the month. And then I just kind of use Palo Santo as that kind of pick me up throughout the month to kind of keep that vibration high. And then cedar is all about energy. It's all about that negative vibes. It's all about anger management. So if you have a house that you have a, you've had a lot of fights in, cedar is actually a great way to help with that communication and actually bring that down. So guys, here in about 2 seconds, you guys are going to hear me talk with Alex, and then we'll have you guys back here in a little bit, and we'll talk more about the Healing Brew and what's coming up here on the next couple weeks. Thank you guys. We look forward to seeing you guys back here in about 5 minutes. Thanks. Hi guys, and welcome back. We are here with Alex. She is our newest tarot guru here at the Healing Brew. We're glad to have her. And I thought, since she is my newest, I'm going to say brainchild when it comes to tarot, I personally don't know a lot when it comes to tarot, and I thought you guys might like to hear a little bit about tarot coming from a pro. So we definitely want to have Alex here with us today. Alex, thank you very much for joining us.
Hi, thank you. I appreciate the guru comment. Wow.
So as we're sitting here, what I want to know is a lot of people, a lot of us have a tarot deck. A lot of us have all this different stuff. Where did this all spawn from? Where did this come from?
So it actually dated all the way back, starting in the 14th century. It was kind of just a card game. People could even play on teams against each other, like similar to bridge. And eventually coming into the 17th century, people started commissioning to make their own tarot decks and things like that. Like, richer families would have artists come in and make their own decks for games. And it eventually turned into a type of divination. And then up into the early 1900s is when an actual guidebook came out. And Rider-Waite is when that system started to develop as well.
Okay. And so I guess it means that if I get the devil card, if I get the death card, that means my life is going to end and I'm going to die next week, right?
No. So that's sad. That's a really common misconception about a lot of cards. I find that really every card is has a light side and a shadow side. So getting the death card, it doesn't necessarily mean someone's going to die. It can at sometimes, depending on the question. I find that the best tarot readings give guidance and not necessarily you're going to win the lottery or you're going to die. But with the death card, it most commonly means transformation. You're literally coming out of your shell and stepping into a new version of yourself or a new event. Same with the tower. Everyone's terrified of it, but what it really just means is a big change. Depending on if it's upright or reversed, it could be an internal like slashing away of illusions, like my belief system is changing, or it could be outside circumstances are changing. It doesn't necessarily mean terrible things are going to happen.
So you're a fortune teller?
No. Again, another common misconception. Like I said, I find tarot is the best tool for guidance and not you're going to win the lottery or you're going to die. It doesn't always predict the future. It can give you guidance and a potential outcome if you take this guidance.
Okay, that makes sense. So it's just like any other form of spirit communication, yeah. Mediumship, yes. Or whatever the case may be. Okay. Yes. So a lot of people say you can't read for yourself. You shouldn't read for yourself?
Not necessarily that you shouldn't. Sometimes we do tend to move the line a little bit and put our bias and our own perception and turn it around to what we want it to be and not what spirit is telling us. I try to be, whenever I do readings for myself. And when I do, I try to step back and read it as if I'm a third person party and not put my own emotions or twist of what I want to happen.
So we sugarcoat the truth. In other words, we're not completely open with what that result should be about that devil card or that death card. We don't want to embrace the change, basically. Okay. Yeah. I got it. So now we have these decks. How often do you cleanse yours, or do you cleanse it?
I try to do quick cleanses between every reading. I was recently taught like a new way, which was very helpful when you're doing quick readings. It could be just like a tap 3 times on the deck, or even just like an aura cleansing of sorts. I sage my cards, at least once a week. I'll sage my cards. That's pretty much
it. So, here's a question for all those people out there who are like, oh my God, I want to go buy a tarot deck now. What's your recommendation? How do you choose a deck? Do you have to introduce yourself? Is it like a first date?
A little bit, I guess. When you sit down with the deck, it really kind of is like a first date. When I like to look at decks in person, I feel like something about the deck will call to me, or just demand that I choose it. Similar to whenever I'm actually reading the cards themselves, there's always a card that demands to be chosen. The deck itself does the same thing when you're looking for a new deck. I also sit down with my decks and I look at the stories that each card is trying to tell. I'll put the suits together sometimes and see how they intertwine. I will also do a reading for myself to introduce myself to the deck in a way, and I will ask the deck, how do you best view me in this deck? Where am I in my life best represented in this deck, or who am I best represented by in this deck?
Okay. So as I'm looking at a deck, as I'm sitting here looking at the shelves at the shop or whatever, what makes a good deck? Does it matter?
It really is what calls to you. What calls to me is the storytelling of the cards. Every tarot deck will have the same suits and the same similar interpretation and idea that you will get from it. But there are some decks that I find that tell more story within the pictures.
So it's the story. It's more the story than it is actually the actual card.
It is. It's like an attraction to the story and the artwork. Like the
So deck, if you're able to weave the story, it becomes a better reading.
Absolutely.
Okay. So what's your favorite card in the deck?
I really love the Two of Cups. It's between the Two of Cups and the Three of Cups, actually. They're both very relationship term cards, but in different ways. Two of Cups isn't necessarily about a romantic union. It could be a friendship union, but it's always about having those types of strong bonds in your life. Similar with the Three of Cups, too.
So here's now another question for you. So what's your I'm going to change this up on you because we already talked about this. So what's your least favorite card to read for someone?
That's the Magician, honestly. I was thinking about that a lot, but definitely the Magician. Sometimes, depending on the other cards around it, or if I don't, if I get it as one of the first, like, draws and I don't know about the other cards that are coming up around it, it's difficult to read sometimes because sometimes it can represent a person, sometimes it can represent an event or yourself, and often I've gotten it read as a spiritual awakening, like this person is not owning their gifts. And other times it's another person in their life that's trying to con them. So
it's all about the impression of what's going on at that time. So it's one of those cards that you'd rather just not read.
It's one of those cards where it's like, I don't know what to do with you.
So I'm going to throw you on the spot again here. And as everyone knows, I love to put people on the spot. So I'm going to ask you if you can do me a favor, pull a card and give a message to someone who's listening for us and I just want you to pull the card for the day for whoever's listening and just kind of give them an impression on what's going on. You'll have that ability to reach some people out there. More importantly, I'm also going to throw everybody else under the bus here as well. If you want Alex to pull a card for you, if you send me a memo comment on the podcast, I will actually make sure that Alex pulls a card for you and we'll actually get some individual readings out to you guys. And also, while Alex is shuffling her deck here, I do want to let you guys know that she is always here at the Healing Brew and available for readings here at the shop. And we definitely support her and want you guys to get a chance to introduce yourself to her. Even if you don't want a reading, come out and introduce yourself to her, guys. She's a great book of knowledge. She has a lot of information when it comes to cards. So she does a lot with stones. I think this would be someone who definitely would be someone to have in your wheelhouse. And so what's this card that you pulled?
I had actually pulled the Nine of Cups reverse, which is an interesting one to pull. It's telling me that definitely someone out there has, and I know this is a common theme for a lot of people, and I hope it touches a lot of people, but the Nine of Cups is about a loss of hope, usually, feeling like there is not that light at the end of the tunnel, but the message that the Nine of Cups reversed comes to you is that there is that light at the end of the tunnel, that the loss of that it's not the circumstances themselves that will make you that will tear you down, but it's the loss of hope itself that will tear you down. So if you keep that hope and you keep that faith, you will succeed no matter what.
Okay. I appreciate that. I think a lot of people actually need to hear that, and I think I myself actually need to hear that as well today. What I also want to do is I want to give you an opportunity to let anybody who knows or wants to get a hold of you, what's the best way for them to get a hold of you, Alex?
Honestly, just text or call me. My number is 330-243-3238, or stop in at the Healing Brew.
And we can we have access to her schedule, and we can definitely schedule an appointment here with you. Typically, lately, she's been coming in on Wednesdays. If that, for whatever reason, does not work for and you need to schedule a different time, I'm sure Alex is open to be able to schedule a time at another point during the week for you. So definitely, guys, if you guys do need to reach out to the shop, once again, it's 234-678-0380, and we are the Healing Brew. We are located in Akron, Ohio, and you guys just had an opportunity to meet Alex, our new star with the tarot here, and I'm sure the star speaks highly of her anyway. So definitely, guys, if you guys do have this opportunity, reach out to us. Thank you guys so much for listening. We'll be back here in a couple minutes. Thank you, guys.